Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And that time is a really good start for Omanyala. It's Omanyala and Fred Curley in the middle of your picture. And Omanyala working hard. He's doing everything he can to take a home victory, and he does.
Yes, you need to get to know the name Ferdinand Omanyala. Where's the party at? You found it. Donovan Bailey running things. Jason Portwando, a.k.a. Jagged Edge, and Donovan Bailey, a.k.a. Nelly. I guess that's just the way we're going to roll. I mean,
Jagged Edge and Nelly?
Here we go.
Come on, Jay.
Where the party at? It's right here. Where it is every damn week. Right here. Like, follow, share, subscribe. This is it. What's going on?
Another day, man. It's awesome. You know, the weather is getting better, as I said last time. Track is starting to heat up. The athletes are looking awesome. Ball, we're going to talk about that later. So, I mean, it's always good to see my boy, and we're back for another week.
Yes, sir. Right back at you. Yes, a little track and field. We'll talk some hoops. We'll discuss selections for MVP, Coach of the Year. We'll talk a little boxing. Ooh, Saul losing. Hasn't lost since, like, Mayweather, I think, back in 13.
He only had one loss.
That's right. Yeah. We'll talk a little anchor leg. So, yeah, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride, courtesy of the man on the run. Powered by Acast. You see the smile on his face when I said,
"But I'm just chilling."
Oh, yeah, you are just chilling. All right, so off the top, yeah. Ferdinand Omanyala, a name that not many are going to know, but maybe we should start to get to know, because the Kenyan at the Kip Keino Classic, busting out some moves, that was scintillating.
Yeah.
But did it move the needle for you, more importantly, because you are the man when we come to track and field?
Well, not really. I mean, I think that Fred...
985 didn't move the needle?
No, it's the world record is 958, you know, so...
The same numbers?
Yeah. just a little backwards. Okay. So what I'm saying to you is that, I think it's really important for track fans to get used to Ferdinand. Ferdinand is... He was in the finals last year, and usually Africans are known for distance running,
right?
And he is a rugby player converted to a sprinter, so he doesn't really know a whole lot about sprinting, and we'll get into that when we talk about the women's race, but his execution's way off. So I'm just saying to you that, one, as I said to you before, they don't hand out medals in May, running hellified times sometimes it's pretty telling of how you're training or trying to execute early. But Ferdinand beat Fred Curley. And it's very obvious that the time that he run, although it's at the altitude, the time that he run is quite significant. But, you know, obviously I saw a lot of glitches in his race.
Okay.
And this early, if he's running that fast and he is fearless the likes of someone like Fred Curley, then he is someone that we have to look forward to seeing competing later on the season. One of the things that was disappointing for me was that Marcel Jacobs was there. He got sick. And I hope he's doing well. I think he got some sort of stomach bug whilst he was in Kenya. So I'm definitely looking forward to him opening up and hopefully we'll get to see him open up soon and we take a look and see what kind of shape he's in, or what kind of early season shape he's in. I'd like to see that.
Okay, so we take it with a bit of a grain of salt. Okay, I get it.
No, not a grain of salt. I'm just telling you that it's not a bad thing he's doing. But I see glitches in his race that he needs to work on.
But if he's going that fast and you see glitches, wait until he smooths.
Right.
You
know? Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like he's just a big, strong rugby player turned track and track star, there are lots of technical things that he's doing. But so what I'm saying to you, Jason,
right?
What he did was he got in that race and he just ran it. There was no execution whatsoever. He's like, man, I'm going to beat these guys. The stadium was filled with Kenyans. I am Kenyan. I am not going to lose on my home turf. So it's great that he showed up and that he executed under pressure, which is what impressed me. So I'm impressed by the fact that he won at home when he said he was going to win at home against Fred Kerley and Marcel. Marcel didn't run, but the fact that he executed in front of his fans, to me, is more telling than the time that he ran.
Oh, Prime Minister was there. I mean, all the dignitaries.
Everybody.
I mean, so Nairobi was lit when this happened. Okay, but so here's my grain of salt.
Right.
Mentality.
Right.
Might be a function of the racing surface, because that's the same track where he set the continental record of 977.
Right.
That's scintillating. That was in September. So that was kind of where I was going with the grain of salt. But okay, so the performance overall didn't really move the needle for you. But does this comment move the needle for you? Because he said he's confident he can beat Bolt's record.
I love it.
Resonates. Okay, good.
No, but I'm saying to you that here's what happens. I mean, and this is for all the kids out there, understand this. Do not step into any sport or frankly anything if you don't think that you can be the very best. And one of the incredible things about track and field, it is an individual sport. And ultimately, if a kid shows up today and says, I want to be the world record holder, then you know what? I love that he's that confident. I mean, 9.58 is no joke.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that, or any world record for that matter is no joke. So the fact that he's speaking like this and he's Kenyan, you usually hear that about, Americans, Canadians, Jamaicans for sure, just say, hey, yo, we're going to go crush the record. But, I love the fact that he's fearless about who is competing against or what the time is on the clock. So, yeah, I got to tell you, that definitely resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, if you're trying to be the best, then train like you're the best, eat like you're the best, sleep like you're the best, talk like you're the best.
Big words coming from you.
Hey, man. Been there, done that.
And it's funny, when you started that soliloquy and you're like, kids, don't step into, I'm like, doo-doo? Because then it gets in your shoes and then it tracks everywhere. I was like, where are you
going? Where the hell did that come from?
I don't know.
What's wrong?
I was just listening to you, like, don't step in. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
very
no,
strong words. No,
for
I,
sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, so we give Ferdinand his due.
Right.
We also need to give Shelly Ann hers.
Well, Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce had a really good start, real electric start, and she's motoring away now. What does the clock stop at? 10.68 seconds for Shelly-Ann.
We can actually upgrade that to 10.67 officially.
Right.
Not a bad way to start your season, but we're not surprised. The amount of hurdles she's been able to overcome in terms of, being a mom and not losing a step, coming back and getting back to the top. I'm not surprised by seeing this.
No, and you shouldn't be surprised with anything that Shelly Ann does. Shelly Ann is the prime example of what professional track and field is all about. And not just being a woman. I mean, Shelly Ann's execution in races are better than most people that's ever ran, that's ever been at a professional level. You know, Jason, and people out there, one of the things that you have to understand, please take a look at the race.
Ooh, and, crushed.
Right, but take a look at the race, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
Shelly-Ann was, well, obviously she's training, and her job is to execute her race. The difference between Shelly-Ann and Christine, who got injured, and I hope
that was terrible to see.
Exactly, and I hope that she's well. But the difference between Christine's race and Shelly-Ann's race is the difference between power speed and speed endurance. Shelly-Ann Fraser is all power all day. Christine is coming from the 400 down. And what she tried to do, essentially, was try to run Shelly-Ann's race. So she started overstriding, and then that's where she got hurt. And I'm saying to you that I think that sometimes people don't understand the differences. But someone like Shelly-Ann, I mean, obviously she's short in stature, but...
Which is fine.
I mean, no, it's...
Easy now.
Hey, listen, you relax yourself, you shot boy.
Because when you touch on the vertically challenged, now you know... Don't make me raise my chair.
You're getting sensitive. Right. Sorry, Bridget. Sorry.
Keep it short. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Thanks. Thanks for the permission. Yeah, but I'm telling you that Shelly-Ann's execution. What I love about that, Jason, about this time of year, is that you know that Shelly-Ann's just been working on executing. I mean, I don't even know if she's doing, like, she probably is not doing real raw speed work yet. Because, I mean, as the season goes, I mean, her training, there'll be a variation of power and speed training as the season go on for her to maintain this at the highest level, for her to peak at the trials, peak at the World Championship. She's going to make the Jamaican team, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm saying to you that when, for you people out there, when you're watching the competition, understand the difference between raw power speed and speed endurance, and certainly you know, I wish Christine's gonna she whatever the injury is, she gets better, and so we'll see her in the, I mean, she's young, and also it's also a matter of experience. So you've got the old vet, and Shelly, and I'm not calling you old, all right, I'm just saying to you, I'm comparing it to the 18-year-old that you just beat. And clearly there's a big difference in experience and executing, and part of all of this, especially in track and field or any individual sport, is that you have to run your own race. And ultimately that's why you saw her put the 10-6 on the board, and yeah, man, she's going to be all right.
Christine Mbama, we've discussed her on this show at length.
Yeah.
Silver medalist in the 200 meters, a muscle strain is what they're calling it. Yeah. So hopefully it's not going to keep her around all that long. One last thing about this event before we wrap. How important is it? I mean, a lot of these athletes saying that, you know what, Africa should be on that stage where they get big competitions. And, you know, it was nice to see people show up, right? I mean, sometimes at these events you don't get the bigger names, but... it was good to see them show up and show out.
On that continent, it's very important. I mean, there are things that I always, I'm quite specific about. I mean, I think that when, you know, sports people always go to Africa to do philanthropy or kind of outreach, I think it's always important to have black athletes go there so you have an entire continent of people that can aspire to do great things. So the fact that a track meet was in Kenya and you know, they have a local star that's winning against the best and some of the best athletes in the world, and of course Shelly-Ann going down there against the youngest, fastest you know, African lady. It's amazing, and on that continent, it's very, very necessary. It's very necessary always to show stars and show people that the local kids can aspire to be and can see themselves doing those things one day.
Amen. We'll leave it right there. Leave it right there and switch gears on this edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things, Port Wando and Living Legend, discussing a multitude of topics. And right now, we're ready to cross over to the NBA court.
Horford jump hook. He's fouled. And it goes. Al Horford with 29. Tatum with Hill on him. Mismatch, Boston wants, and he gets a foul, and one! one for Jason Tatum. Ooh. Boston flexing its muscle here in the fourth quarter on the road.
They did exactly that. Tatum, Horford, the first Celtics teammates to score 30 each in a playoff game since who? Paul Pierce and Ray Allen in 2011.
Wow. Celtics, too.
And the Dominicano, he went like Al Horford's 36. He's no young pup.
Right.
I mean, 36 seems to be the number of the show.
Is it, though?
No? It's, yeah, yeah. I mean, he went
is
out.
Is Shelly 36 now?
Caiocho. I don't know if she's that old. I'll look it up.
Yeah, she's 30.
Que bolo, yeah. Gata. Que bolo, Omega. You know, Al Horford. It's not often we talk about a Dominican playing in the NBA, but last night he had a hell of a game. And all of a sudden, we got a different series now. Boston 2, Milwaukee 2.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth, but I did tell you that Milwaukee was gonna take the series.
They still can.
Yeah, but I'm just saying to you that it just Boston's not afraid, you know, of them. And, you know, how big Milwaukee is, the expectations are that they should be taking the series. They were number one. No, hold on. Boston was number one, right?
Number one, Miami.
No, Boston was number two.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, watching the game though, it's quite different. I love the series, right. And I love the fact that we're watching real basketball. I always tell you that during the season NBA. I mean, when I go watch a game, you know, frankly, I just want to play. You know what I mean? and so, what I love about the games that are going on now. It kind of reminds me of March Madness, where every game counts, and I think that these professional these guys who are at the highest level are showing up and showing out, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it, man.
I don't know what to make of this series. Everything I predicted has been the opposite. So I mean, the Pride of Puerto Plata. I mean, yeah. I mean, Al Horford. I mean, yeah. And by the way, Shillian is in her 36th year. Oh. She'll be 36 in late December.
Oh, okay.
So right. Her and Al Horford doing some pretty good things in right. Their respective sports.
Yeah.
At what you would consider to be, you know, everyday walk of life. You're young, but as an athlete, that's getting up there.
Yeah.
But you retired how old again when you?
32.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So that shows you.
No, right? But I mean, I ruptured my Achilles. Listen, yeah. I was running on one leg. That's not when you're an athlete and you're a sprinter.
And no teammates,
and you have, and yeah, exactly, and you have, and you have one really good leg, and yeah. The other one is weaved thread. Then yeah, the possibilities of you coming in, and I mean, I was still when I retired, I was the number one sprinter in Canada still on one leg.
You still are.
Yeah. Well, yes, I still got the record.
You still
yeah.
are.
I still do, but I'm saying to you that yeah, you know when your body is not when your body's telling you that it's still okay. Then it's all right. It's very much like Jason. We spoke about Tom Brady, you know, a while back, and you know, his body definitely is telling him that he can still play. LeBron is the same thing. I mean, so Shelly Ann is going to continue to do great things, and I think that all the guys in the NBA right now are taking care of their body so much better. Nutrition, treatment, rest, sleep, water. You know, so we're going to see guys and ladies do better. Stay longer at the highest level.
Enough said. By the way, in terms of basketball, I mean, some of these series that we got going on right now, it's been a thing of beauty. I mean, even Phoenix,
I thought they were going
to
crush.
Down to a best of three with Dallas.
Yeah, I thought they were. I remember I said that Dallas is going to give them hell.
Miami, Philly, same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's down to a best of three as well.
I'm actually surprised with Philly. I'm surprised that Miami has not won the series because, but apparently, playoff Harden has been rested and new Harden has showed up. So you know he's actually balling right now. You know Harden is actually playing real. Like the last game he was playing real ball. I mean the series between Golden State and Memphis is also phenomenal. I mean I hate the fact that Ja Morant is hurt.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's
quick take on that injury. I don't want to say that Poole did that on purpose, but why is your hand on the guy's knee?
Well, you know what?
They're kind of a ripping motion. I don't know. I'm not saying that he's that type of player.
Yeah.
That might be a little egregious on my part.
Yeah.
But kind of funky. I don't know.
Well, Well, I play the game, Jason, and I think that one of the problems that we have, there are sensitive issues now as right. to how the game is played. I mean, I played it when it was played a little rougher, and some of these things.
The word flagrant didn't even...
flagrant if you punched a guy in the face.
Wasn't even around, exactly. Hey,
if you punch,
exactly.
If you literally yeah. ran and punched a guy in the face,
pretty much.
That would be a flagrant yep. foul. But yeah, but we played, our game was a little bit more physical. Yeah, if one of the things that's happening in the NBA right now, if obviously, well, in all sports, but obviously, especially contact sport, but obviously, if there are injuries, the team and the medical staff of those teams are quite protective of the player themselves. So, if Ja had a little tweak in a tendon or a muscle, the greatest thing for them to do is to rest him and get treated so he can come back and be you know and be at it at his full capacity. And the fact is that he's one of the, I love watching him because I think that you know, Ja Morant is one of those guys that if you gave him a happy meal, he would play basketball. If you gave him a happy meal as a salary, yeah. he'd be playing basketball, which is what I love. I love that.
And a bunch of kids playing with him as well. So really overachieved.
No, I'm saying the upside on that team is fantastic.
Yeah. Only series, by the way, that is not 2-2
yeah.
is that one. It's 3-1, obviously, for Golden State. A couple quick things on the way out in terms of hoops. Nikola Jokic able to win NBA MVP. I don't have a vote. If I had one, he would have been third on my list.
Wow, who would have been one or two?
Embiid, Antetokounmpo, then I would have went Jokic.
What's the record of Dallas compared to those two?
Compared to Denver?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. Those two are still playing.
Yeah.
Embiid's got his team back in it, 2-2. Antetokounmpo, as we just talked about, 2-2 with Boston. I mean, I'm not saying Jokic isn't a stud. He is.
Right.
And then people are like, look at the numbers he put up. Well, he had to put up those numbers because obviously Jamal Murray, the Canadian stud, mm-hmm. is still on the sidelines. Yeah. But again, my opinion, Jokic, sure, he's a great player, but he wouldn't have gotten my vote.
So he's got, but he has bigger numbers, no? Isn't that what this is?
You're going to get bigger numbers because you're going to get the ball more often. Numbers don't mean everything. To me, it's about winning. And where's Denver right now?
Well, I mean, you know, I agree with you, but the big numbers. Okay, think about this. Steve Nash got MVP twice.
Yeah, 7 times it's happened since the start of the new millennium, by the way, that a player has gone back to back.
Seven
times. Okay. Steve Nash being
But I'm just saying to you about him, but I'm talking about being either the most, a dominant player or the most dominant player on a team. Right. So I'm just saying to you that, you know, I don't have a vote either way. I mean, I thought that
if you had one, who would have got it?
I thought Embiid would have probably got it. I thought Embiid would have probably got it. You know, the Greek freak would have. I mean, like those are the three guys. Those are the top three guys that you and I are going to talk about. And we can certainly sit here and probably have a valid conversation about each of them, it's all right.
Okay, I'll meet you halfway.
Right,
there's no wrong answer in terms
there
of
isn't, the there isn't. There is maybe that's what it is.
And his numbers, if you look at them, actually better this year than they were last year when he won. So I guess the thinking is, if you're going to give it to him last year, right. you got to give it to him this year.
Well, maybe that's the rule that they had set. So if they set the rule like that last year, you're right. I mean, if he tops those numbers this year, then he's going to walk in and get the crown.
We can agree on this one, I'm sure. Monty Williams, coach of the year.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
100%. I mean, there's, yeah, 100%. Yeah. What else can I add to that? Yeah, 100%.
Okay, fair enough. We can move on. We get to talk. Another one of your favorite sports. What a fight it was. I'm getting to like this. It seems like we've got a boxing segment almost every week here on the program. We need to get your take on this.
He's still undefeated and still the WBO heavyweight champion of the world, Dimitri Bivol.
All three judges scoring the fight 115-113 in favor of Bivol, who remains the WBA, very key letters there. I'll talk more about that in a bit. Light heavyweight champ. As Saul Canelo Alvarez stepped up to a different weight classification, did not get the win.
did not get the win. And you know what, Jason? What's really funny, I mean, well, for all you people who don't know, I'll remind you again, Donovan Bailey, huge boxing fan. Mm-hmm. The fight was like, for what the cards, what the numbers read just now,
okay,
115, 113.
Right.
I think that it was farther than that. I really.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that like Canelo probably won three rounds. That's just what I mean. That's obviously I'm an amateur fan. I'm an expert fan. I'm an expert armchair quarterback in the boxing arena, and you know, I certainly love the sport. But I thought that he only won three rounds. I obviously he is the champion, and maybe that's why it is that it sounded or appeared that close. But the fight was fantastic. Talking about execution, man. I mean, Bivol, you know, for a 175-pound guy came in and executed exactly, you know, meticulously how you're supposed to fight someone like Canelo, who is fast, who, if he gets close to you, can knock you out.
Oh, for sure. But how hard is it, though? You're kind of like the boxing expert.
I don't know about that.
You are somewhat.
I'm the boxing guy who likes boxing.
Of the two of us, you are the boxing expert. Let's just say that.
Let's go. Let's give me. Okay, fine.
But so, let me accept that. Alvarez is the undisputed world super middleweight champ.
Yeah, yeah.
You step up to fight light heavyweight.
Yeah.
It's not just about going and eating some burgers and eating more food. That's just not the way you do it. I mean, there's a lot involved. So how tough was it for him to do that?
Well, first of all, he's one of the best pound for pound boxers on the planet.
Fair enough.
And so if he's going to challenge himself, mm-hmm, then he obviously, you know, training, whatever the nutrition protocol is, he's got to bring himself up to weight and then like almost hold the weight or keep the weight on when he goes into for the weigh-in and also for the fight. But he's challenging himself. He wants to fight the best. And obviously with this fight, fighting the best meant that he went into and fought, you know, a disciplined Russian, a disciplined man who kind of understand that you're not going to get him out of his, you know, whatever his zone is and whatever his strengths are, you're not going to get him out of it. And that's why it is that you saw that Canelo lost. I mean, he's up now against someone that is bigger than him, as fast as him. Plays better, as good defense, you know. I'll tell you this. I heard something that Canelo was saying that he could beat Alexander Usyk in the heavyweights. And I'm going to tell, listen, as I mean, hey,
word
is wind. I've never met Canelo, but I'm going to tell you this, my man, leave it alone. Alexander Usyk is also a different level, and he can knock you into the moon as a heavyweight. I mean, if he's sitting there moving around Anthony Joshua like he is, you know, if you're younger, he just has to connect one time. But yeah, the Canelo fight was amazing, man, and it was, you know, it was one of probably the best and most tactical fights that I've seen in a while. So you know, coming off like last week where we saw two women put on, you know, probably the most incredible boxing that was seen for, you know, generations damn near, to such a tactical fight that Canelo ended up losing to another boxer who was probably not as famous as he is, but is deserving of that title. And I look forward to the rematch or whatever, either one of them or whomever either one of those guys are going to be fighting next.
Alvarez has talked about only other defeat, 2013.
Right.
Light middleweight style against Floyd Mayweather.
140 pounds, man. Crazy.
Let's talk about the WBA. I want to mention those letters because if you think about it, the WBC, the WBO, excuse me, IBF,
right,
all have, you know, followed other sports in terms of banning, blocking Russian athletes from competing.
Right.
But this is the WBA. Did not follow suit. So some are saying this fight shouldn't have even happened. You know, Vladimir Klitschko has been one, and obviously of Ukrainian descent.
Right.
That's come out and said, you know, this fight shouldn't even have happened. Your take.
Wow. Yeah, the political atmosphere, the political landscape.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
But here's the thing. I think there's a need for Russian athletes to make a living, and I have to, you know, I think that I'm always here on the side not of politics in sport or politics, right, period, but of on the side of the athletes. You know, the fight was on, and certainly I think Bivol was based in the States, you know, so I believe at the end of the day the fight was worth it, my take is it should have happened.
It's tough because we don't know if these Russian athletes even are condoning.
Well, none,
what's going on, right?
I have not seen any Russian athlete that is supportive of the war.
Right.
None. I mean, and I can't imagine. Jason, imagine this. Imagine that you're doing a sport,
okay,
and that sport is providing a living for you and your family.
Right.
And all of a sudden you can't work. Right? So I'm saying to you that I'm always going to be supportive of the people that are working. And the people that are working are, like, you think about, I mean, the people that are working, you know, are the athletes. They're the commodities. I mean, yeah, we understand that, you know, administrators and coaches, you know, a lot of times these guys go in places and they think that, you know, they are important. You know, at the end of the day, I'm quite supportive of the athletes competing. I absolutely am.
Okay. You're the boxing expert. I will say I thought Alvarez should have won that fight. But anyways.
I don't know.
I
know. Good for you.
I digress.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what time it is?
Leave the expert.
It's time to run that anchor leg.
A cleaning stage of Donovan Bailey is pouring it on.
Back in the day, my man was burning. Burning up the track is what he does best. Oh, back on the track. I know it's still, you know, a week away, but
right.
whispers of two guys that have collectively won 21 majors teeing it up at the PGA Championship. Tiger Woods says he's going to lace him up.
Right.
Phil Mickelson back. Are you getting Boost Gumps?
Boost Gumps.
Are you getting Boost Gumps? I see you rubbing your arm. You're getting
the hell
boost
is wrong
gumps,
with you?
You,
dude. I mean, anytime that Tiger can lace him up, it's gonna move the needle. It's gonna move the needle for fans. It's gonna move the needle for media. It's gonna move the needle for young kids who are aspiring to be golfers. It's gonna move the needle. Period. And again, I always think of the great comeback, and I would love, dude. At the end of the day, I would love to see, just for nostalgic sake, I'd love to see Tiger and Phil, teeing off last on Sunday afternoon.
Wow, could you imagine?
That would be awesome.
That would be the throwbacks of all throwbacks.
Absolutely, man. That would be great. That'd be great.
It is possible. And Woods, we know, already agreeing to tee it up at St. Andrews in July at the Open. By the way, speaking of the Open, we got our Open coming up soon. Got a shout-out. Dan Pino and the boys put on a great show this week in terms of St. George's. They want to get you out there because they know you're a big golf guy.
Right.
So,
well, I'm coming out.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want the world to know?
I want.
You gotta
the world
let it show.
Know. Yeah. I'll come. I'll play if you need to.
All right.
And you know, if you want me, and listen, I gotta sharpen up my
that Donna Summers reference was right over your damn head.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how bad I was. Okay, yeah, no problem. I tried.
I sidestepped that
you
one.
I
sidestepped that one. But yeah, I'd definitely like to go and play.
World number one, Scotty Scheffler. That just does not roll off my tongue. Right. Masters champ. You also got former US PGA champions, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa, all set to
Canadian
line it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Corey Connors, though. Yeah, he probably will be there as well. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so he didn't get Boost Gumps from that, but did this give Mr. Bailey Boost Gumps?
Rich Wright is coming up on the inside. Oh, my goodness. The longest shot has won the Kentucky Derby.
Rich Strike, a horse that wasn't even supposed to be in the Derby.
Yeah.
Gets in because of a scratch and makes good on an 83-1 upset. Did you have any money on Rich Strike?
I didn't even know who Rich Strike
was. Oh, my goodness. Named after you, Rich Strike.
Listen, here's the thing. You always got to be prepared to be blessed and always got to be prepared to be lucky. And I think that that's, and this is also an indication. You have a horse and obviously team and trainers and owners and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And was preparing for a race that was not even available.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm saying to you, again, when you're talking about opportunity, man, like we used to see this stuff in track and all that stuff, in track and field. And in golf or in anything. I mean, practice. Practice makes perfect. Always prepared for that opportunity. And man, 83-1?
83-1.
Oh my God. I was watching the race, Jason. I'm just like, okay, well, it's looks like it's going to be, coming into the home stretch. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a regular derby, Kentucky. Yeah, whatever. And I'm like, man, coming from the inside. I'm like, what? Anyways, yeah, that was exceptional. Congratulations. Love the race. Love what I saw. And like I said, you always got to be, you always train. Always be ready. Always prepared.
Unreal.
Because you never know when that phone call is going to come and that opportunity is going to present itself. And when it presents itself, take full advantage of it. And that is what we saw.
A $30,000 claim. That's how much the owners bought this horse for. $30,000 last September.
Right.
That's $1 million payday. Now, you want to put this in golfing vernacular because we're just talking about golf?
Right.
John Daly in 1991 at the age of 25 won the PGA Championship as the ninth alternate. Ninth.
Wow.
Not the first alternate. So it wasn't like, oh, somebody dropped out, John, you want ninth alternate.
Yeah.
So he wasn't even on the radar. Right. And then he wins the whole damn championship. That's kind of like what we saw with Rich Strike.
Well, yeah, but you know what? This is like, you know what this is also like? This is Buster Douglas fighting Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
But okay. For real, that's what it did. Like you got a guy fell down in the sky. And you're like, oh, who's that guy again? Oh, wow. Did he knock out the heavyweight? Yes. So it's just that once that like amazing, astonishing upset. But like I said, kids, practice, always be prepared for that opportunity. And when that opportunity presents itself, crush it.
Amazing, astonishing upset. Perfectly segueing us to the UEFA Champions League. Real Madrid on the deck. They're counting them out. The referee got to 9, and somehow they were able to just stagger the way up, at least to stand, and the ref allowed them to continue. Real Madrid was down 1-0, which is actually 5-3 on aggregate against Man City. They had no chance of coming back. They got two goals in stoppage time, and then they win, shocking City, in added time. So it's Real Madrid and Liverpool in the final, as you said it would be.
Well, you know, I remember I said to you, you got to be blessed to be lucky.
And that was the shock of all shocks.
Was it, though?
I would have given you 1,000-1.
Oh, well, I should have taken your damn money is what I should have done.
There's no way you come back from that in that fashion.
Well, you know what? Teamwork, ambition, and the ability to not allow anyone to step into your space and step into your dream. So, man, we're waiting for the finals, man, and I like what I see.
Okay. Well, let's just leave it there because I don't want your pick yet. It's coming up on May 28th,
right.
So you got a few weeks.
I will let you know.
This has been a hell of a show. I don't know how much gas you got left in the tank, but speaking of which, let's wrap with this. Victoria, BC, gas price on Vancouver Island has hit, get this, a record-breaking $2.21.9 a liter. Is it time to put the car in the garage and start walking, riding a bike, Toronto Mike?
Well, listen, I think, well, Victoria, it's beautiful in Victoria, man.
My goodness.
So. Yeah, I think that walking or bike is probably the best way to go here. I think that there needs to be some Uber bikes on that island. Yeah, but that's a lot of dough. That's a lot of dough for especially those people that are struggling. But why is it so expensive out there?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't even want to know. This is even around these parts, it's pushing $2, $1.99.
Right.
I mean, we were seeing numbers. I remember growing up as a kid, not trying to date myself, but saw gas in the 40s.
1940?
No.
Oh.
47 cents. I'm not that old. No, thank you, darling.
Yeah. Jeez, come on. I mean, wheel yacht. Yeah, no, exactly. but dude, yeah, this is... You know,
this is insane.
It is insane. And for all my fans in Victoria, maybe just walk. Walk and ride your bike. Exercise. I actually just got a bike. So, yeah, I just bought a bike. So
motorized or pedal?
Oh, pedal. Okay. Pedal for sure. So I'm going to get into a little better shape than I am right now because I'm kind of rotund.
I'm gassed. I'm out of petrol. This has been a lot of fun. This has been another great edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things. We appreciate that support and company. As always, like, follow, share, subscribe. Check us out. Whoever your podcast provider is, just get involved.
And have fun, be safe, and we'll see you next week.
You heard the man.